Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY25 earnings conference call of Arvind Smart Spaces Limited. As a reminder, all the participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Sharma from Adfactors PR. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Riya. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Q1 FY25 results conference call of Arvind Smart Spaces Limited. We have with us today on the call Mr. Kamal Singhal, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Avinash Suresh, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Mitanshu Shah, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Prakash Makwana, Company Secretary, and Mr. Vikram Rajput, Head Investor Relations. Please note that a copy of the disclosures is available on the investor section of the website of Arvind Smart Spaces Limited, as well as on the stock exchanges. Please do note that anything said on this call that reflects the outlook towards the future, which would be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company possesses. I would like to now hand over the call to Mr. Kamal Singhal for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good afternoon to all of you. Thank you for joining us today to discuss operating and financial performance of Arvind Smart Spaces for the quarter ending 30th June 2024. Indian economy continues to exhibit resilience, and the government has revised full-year growth targets for the year ending March 2024 to 8.2%, which is truly impressive. Similarly, the Reserve Bank of India has also raised the real GDP forecast for the current year, which is 2024-25, to 7.2% from earlier estimate of around 7%. This is on account of improved rural and urban demand, buoyed by favorable monsoon forecast and uptake in services and government CapEx thrust. The recently presented Union Budget aligns with government's overreaching priorities of CapEx, fiscal consolidation, and social welfare. A clear focus on job creation and skill development underscores the government's confidence in India's sustained economic growth trajectory. The Union Budget 2024-25 presents a visionary approach to urban development, aligning with our commitment to creating sustainable and vibrant urban spaces. The substantial allocation of 11 lakh crores for infrastructure and improvements in water supply and waste management in 100 large cities will enhance connectivity and urban amenities, which directly supports our projects aimed at developing modern integrated communities. The country's ongoing mega infrastructure projects encompassing transportation networks, highways, airports, and metro networks are expected to support real estate growth and, in turn, create new residential nodes. These projects hold the potential to unlock new markets, establish satellite cities, and stimulate development in peripheral areas. We also welcome the budget's focus on simplifying FDI regulations and promoting rupee-based overseas investments. These measures are expected to attract increased NRI participation in the real estate sector, invigorating market dynamics and offering new growth avenues. Moreover, the states with high stamp duty have been encouraged to moderate their rates with further reduction for properties purchased by women. Both of these are likely to boost demand. While the impact of indexation is a mixed bag for an investor depending upon the holding period, this move is unlikely to impact the end users who sell their existing houses and reinvest in new homes. The residential market has continued to strengthen, with demand reaching an 11-year high during H1 of 2024. A notable shift towards premiumization has taken root in the residential market, with higher prices home of over 1 crore driving the market volumes. The mid and higher-end categories are expected to remain the primary drivers of Indian real estate market in the coming quarters. Coming to the operational update for the quarter, we have started the year on a healthy note, with progress in booking, collections, and business development, setting a positive trajectory for the year ahead. Q1 25 booking improved by 49% to 201 crores, and collections improved by 21% to 248 crores. During the quarter, we added a combined top line of 410 crores on two of our existing projects, namely Forest Trails and Upland 2-3. Remainder phase of Forest Trails, Sarjapur, Bangalore will now be developed as high-rise project comprising a saleable area of around 3.2 lakh square feet. Consequently, the top line potential of the project has increased by rupees 205 crores. We also acquired an additional 42 acres of Uplands 2 and 3, which will add rupees 205 crores to the top line of the project. We are working on strong business development pipeline and looking forward to add new projects to our portfolio in the coming quarters. Now moving on from operational update to the financial highlights, Q1 we reported a revenue of around 75 crores, up 11% year-on-year basis. EBITDA for Q1 amounted to 8 crores and PAT at 5 crores. Our balance sheet position remains very strong despite expanding operations. Net debt remained negative and decreased to a negative of 58 crores as on June 24 from a net debt position of around 41 crores as on March 31st, 24. Our operations cycle remained very strong with a net operating cash flows of 97 crores during the quarter. We estimate an unrealized operating cash flow exceeding rupees 2744 crores coming from the current pipeline of projects. As we continue to scale up our business, it becomes imperative that we retain our agility, which has been a huge contributor to our success. The company is engaged in execution of 27 million square feet of projects with a yet-to-be-launched portfolio of around 46 million square feet. Managing this growth successfully will require us to think of each of the region and also newer upcoming regions like Pune and Mumbai as individual P&L centers, with the head office playing the role of an integrator and mentor to the regions. With this background, I would like to share a significant organizational restructuring exercise aimed at preparing the company for next phase of growth. Each geographic region shall now be headed by our chief business officer who will drive the business P&L for the region. Sharvil Shah has joined us recently as CBO, Chief Business Officer for the Western Region, Ahmedabad and Surat. Manoj Chilani, who otherwise has been heading our sales function at national level, will now be heading the role of Chief Business Officer for South. While we are speaking on human capital, let me also introduce to all of you Mitanshu Shah, who is sitting here right now as our new CFO. I am confident that the company will benefit tremendously from Mitanshu's expensive experience in finance. Looking forward, we believe that the overall residential market remains quite healthy given the cyclical low inventory levels and healthy affordability. At ESL, we believe that we've reached an inflection point in company's growth story, and we are very well poised to operationally capitalize on the opportunities being thrown up by the sector. ASL has an asset-light business model with an optimum blend of quicker cycle horizontal projects and higher share of JDAs, which enable faster project turnarounds, robust OCF generation and higher return ratios. Robust cash flows, platform funding and leveraging headroom provide significant scope for scalability in the medium to long term. From a financial year 25 perspective, the remainder of the year should witness a strong uptake in our overall performance with a robust launch business development pipeline for the coming quarters. With this, I'll ask the moderator to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kunal Ochiramani from Kitara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good number of bookings and collections. Just wanted to know any update on Mumbai front. Second, how much percentage do you see the shift in asset class investments from real estate to other asset class, given that indexation benefit is gone, or how this industry will function from now on?
Sure. Thanks, Kunal. I think Mumbai, as we have been telling that the entire team, the BD team is busy bringing in something concrete very soon. As we speak, we are very close to telling you something about something of a decent size in Mumbai. Even if the term sheet, etc. is done, I think it will be more appropriate that we announce the details only after the formal JDA is signed, which is still to happen. But yeah, rest assured that something is on our way when it comes to Mumbai as a market. So we're definitely going to be doing something there, and soon, sooner than later. Coming to the second question about shift from real estate as an asset class to another asset class, I think this discussion on indexation, etc., possibly is something which is quite a balanced thing. It has positives, it has negatives, and obviously an individual gets impacted only based on the holding period of an asset. 5 to 6 years, it should not impact really for a person who invests afresh. In any case, a very significant component of overall investment is based on sales of old house and then purchase of new house to avoid taxes, etc., from profits arising from the sales of old houses. So in that context, I don't see any significant shift or negative coming out of this whole thing in the short and medium term, if at all this will balance out. Commonsensically speaking, and generally the sense that I get personally is that when a person invests in real estate, and for that matter for any other asset class, more so in real estate, being a medium to long term investment, people are not really taking this call depending upon whether the tax rates are X or Y, if that is not too much of an issue. Now, 5 to 6 years being neutral, maybe even the seventh year being very, very neutral, I think this is a marginal call, and it should not become a very, very significant catalyst in deciding whether or not to do real estate. To that extent, I am okay with this.
Understood, sir. So one more last question is that, as when anybody sees the Arvind Smart Space as a company, we have visibility for next 3 years of pipeline and how much collections we'll get. As you said, 2,744 crores of unrealized cash flow that company has. In a long-term perspective, say 7 to 8 years, do you think the run rate of the company in what cash flows company is generating or bookings what company is getting, can you give a broader perspective? Will it be the same as last 3 years where, or how will it be? Will it be 5% less growth, or will it run at the same run rate till FY30? Objectively looking at the company, nobody gets a farther view of the company. So just wanted to understand how will next 6 to 10 years be.
Sure, Kunal. So if you were to bifurcate your question into medium term and long term, we are right now in the middle of executing our investment cycle, which includes raising of debt, which obviously is negative right now. Very, very strong cash inflows for the last 2 years, almost last year, last to last year and first quarter of this year. We've generated 800 crores thereabouts of total cash flows being thrown by business into investment. So it's a healthy sort of internal accrual source as well. So internal accruals, raising of debt, which is negative today to a very, very reasonable extent, and also the SDFC platform, this takes care of our 1 to 2 years of, you know, kind of appetite for investments in that sense. Going longer, we will rather look at the whole growth trajectory in terms of what have we achieved in the previous years and what do we want to do in the coming few years. We have been growing in all our major parameters to the extent of 30-35%. Most of the times it is more than 30%, but if you were to put a range of say 25-35%, we should land somewhere there in the long term as well. So we are putting all the blocks in place to ensure from capital point of view, from pipeline creation point of view, etc., that this growth trajectory remains the same way. And accordingly, we can expect that the company will continue to show operationally this kind of growth between 25-35%. Over the next few years.
Thank you so much, sir. That was helpful. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Srivastav from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, my first question is on in terms of recently in this quarter, we have done the private...
Your voice is a little... If you can speak a little louder, please.
Yes, sir. Now it is better?
Yeah, better. Significantly better, yes.
Yeah. So, sir, just wanted a first question was on a clarification on NH-47 project where we have done the private placement to Land Partners itself. See if you can give an idea that okay, what was the deal, as well as when we are going to launch this project in this quarter itself. So what would be the size of this project in a first phase in that sense? And the like product profile, ticket size, if you can give an idea of that.
Sure. So this project, which essentially is located at a village called Kalyangad, is one of the most ambitious projects that we've undertaken. This comprises almost in excess of 850 odd vigas, which is 500 acres thereabouts. It is one of the most sustainable projects in our portfolio till date, with a huge water body being created to have water collected during rainy season, etc., which is sufficient for most of the year for the residents and the landscaping and other requirements. This is based on a very, very, very deep hydrological study that we have carried out for the first time in any of our projects, which takes care of the water balancing thing, how much water do we need, where can it come from, what is the runoff of water going from the land, etc. On the other side, it has some very, very exciting products, some very, very state-of-the-art villas. The best of the best class architects are working on this, etc. So it's one of the most ambitious and, I mean, personally speaking, very, very exciting project that we are taking over. Being such a large one, we thought we'll do some test marketing here through some of our bigger channel partners. We've done that and we kind of sold 100 odd crore rupees of inventory to figure out which class of, you know, I mean, when you're speaking of 500 acres, it's better to get a sense of what is doing actually better on ground as compared to what our assumptions were. And it can be done in a closer circuit with people who have been working with us for a very long time. And that's what we did. The test market that we did very, very good. In fact, most of the parameters that we had assumed for the project turn out to be very, very right, in the right direction. And if there were 5-10% fine-tuning to be done in product mix, sizing, etc., that's what we are doing right now. So all the blocks are being put in place for the launch of this project in the coming quarters, next quarter, and that's what it is. So very excited about this project. This test market has gone off very, very well, and we are fine-tuning everything, preparing everything, and this should be one of our biggest launch this year.
What would be the size, sir, first, in a first phase?
So we'll launch maybe 500 odd crore rupees of inventory when we launch this in the market formally.
Okay. Yeah. Sir, second question is on the in terms of the Sarjapur project. After the initial success in the project is going slightly slower, what it seems. Again, we have added the incremental area into that project, which is more on a high rise. So effectively, just wanted to understand that thought process, that is it the demand of product profile is changing, that we are going from the villas to the high rise, or what is happening in that project that momentum is not picking up when the market of Bangalore is doing so well?
Sure. So as you very rightly said, this project is not doing as good as we've been doing in other projects in terms of sales velocities. But having said that, it's a JD project and the cash flows otherwise in totality for us as developers is very, very healthy. Construction is in full swing. The product in our understanding and in the understanding of the customers who have bought into it is absolutely great. I think as the project is taking shape and people are seeing what exactly is coming up and few of the other things that are coming up in the project within the boundary of the project as well is creating some sort of momentum now, and it should only improve from here onwards. That's one part of it. As such, there are healthy cash flows and construction funding, etc., is not required from outside sources, and this is a self-sustaining project, which always is our first target to achieve in any individual project. To that extent, we are quite satisfied and happy, but obviously there is a scope to improve this. We have been doing far better in other projects than what this project per se is doing, and hence we are all the time continuously evaluating ways and means to improve from where we are on this project and projects like this. We are confident that once this project takes shape, it's one of the finest projects in the region. And the way we price it, the way we are building it, it should be a hit ultimately. We've seen some of the projects which have been slow initially, but then once they start clicking, they really do click. I mean, for the information of you who have been tracking us for a long time, Upland, for example, which turns out to be one of the finest, one of the most profitable cash generating projects, initially for the first couple of years was pretty slow to take off. But once it did, it really did well. So direction we are happy. Now in one of the portion of the land that comes under the JD, we have finally taken a call, and that was the call we had kept pending, and that's why we didn't launch also this one phase, which is not a big one, maybe 2 to 3 acres of land parcel within a 16-17 acres overall project. We always thought that this location could be useful for assisted living kind of a project and product. We evaluated that in great detail and taken a call that it will be appropriate for us to do an FSI-oriented project there, high-rise project there, primarily targeting this segment of assisted living, etc. So that's what we are doing, and this will be our first in Bangalore, and we are busy right now designing this project, etc. So this is not any significant change in what we had thought otherwise, but yeah, I mean, today is the day that we are taking a call that will go with a high-rise project in this remaining portion of the land in the same project.
Just on a addition to this, sir, basically in terms of the demand profile, have you seen any shift from the premium project, luxury project, to the villas, to shifting in any of the product which is like affordable or any vice versa which is happening into the market, or is it similar to the last year?
So no significant change. If at all affordable, I don't see much of action happening there, especially in the market like Bangalore. So it's all about higher mid and little higher than higher mid. You know, that is a segment. So 1 crore plus and maybe below 2 crore is the most important segment. For us, because we are selling a lot of horizontal projects in the form of plotting, etc., there the sweet spot remains at 60 lakhs to 1.2, 1.3 crores. That exactly remains the same. We have been selling very consistently throughout our portfolio. In fact, there are a couple of launches which are planned this year as well, in the form of new phases of existing projects or otherwise. And broadly, the market is still doing very well, and hopefully this remains the same way. There are no reason, we don't see any shift happening there in that sense.
Okay. Sir, last on our Surat project, sir, what is the status when we are thinking on launching that project?
So Surat is also, it's under design. Designs are almost getting finalized. Approval processes have started already in the right earnest. So it's progressing. We are hoping that within this year we'll be able to launch this project. Things are moving as per plan.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreyans Mehta from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. So for first question is on our launch pipeline. So if you could highlight, you know, key projects which we are targeting to launch this year and where are we as far as the approvals are concerned?
Sure. So mostly, you know, we have Kalyangarh, which is one of the biggest that we set. We also talked about Surat already, which again is one of the biggest projects that gets launched this year. We have a comparatively big launch in Bangalore on high-rise site, which is Banargatta Road. So these three are the greenfield new big projects. Apart from that, there are quite a few new phases coming up of the existing projects, which includes Greatlands, Orchards, Uplands 2 and 3. So all that put together is quite a busy schedule when it comes to new launches this year.
Sure. And sir, any sense, you know, I mean, would it be skewed towards the second half? Or we'll see it phasing out evenly throughout the year?
No, I mean, I think this year, again, is a year which is generally skewed towards second half. The way it is lined up, the way we acquired, the way we started, the approvals, etc., etc. Most of the action will start happening and hitting the ground from second half of this year onwards.
Sure. Sir, second question is on our BD. So, you know, we've been indicating closure to 5,000 odd crores plus of BD. And, you know, so just wanted a sense, where are we on that? So as you highlighted, Mumbai is one. So in case if you could assign a number and how much Mumbai could be in terms of BD and how are we placed in terms of that achieving that 5,000 odd crores?
5,500 crore rupees, we are absolutely, I mean, at this point, confident that we should be able to achieve. There are reasons to believe that this should be a number which is not out of our reach at all. We should be almost there. I mean, 5,500 crores for the year is not something that we should be worrying about, and all the blocks are in place for that. Mm-hmm. And Mumbai obviously will be part of that, and definitely one or two projects should come our way very soon. But 5,500 crores, absolutely no worries on that at this point.
Sure. Sir, two last questions. One, in terms of the HDFC platform, the second platform, so how much have we utilized till now and how much is pending?
Well, get you the exact numbers if they are existing right now. Mitanshu, if you could just set up those numbers, please, for me.
Yeah. So we utilized around 70 odd crores and outstanding is 30 odd crores. That's it. Of the total platform of 600 crores.
So right now the draw is quite low, but in terms of commitment in the existing pipeline is pretty healthy, more like a 300 crores, but I'll rather suggest that after the call offline, if you could connect with the team to get a properly dissected numbers on this, because you know, outstanding is one issue, which is a dynamic number.
Right.
Investment commitment is another number, which is for the projects which are already frozen and commitments taken, but full payments have not been released depending on the payment terms, etc. And the third is something which is still underutilized. So we'll give you a proper breakup of all these three components offline, and you can connect with Vikram or with Anshu after this call.
Sure, perfect. I'll do that. Sure. And then lastly, on the P&L side, you know, I understand, you know, it's a quarterly phenomena, but this quarter, especially on the margin front, you know, it's on a lower side. So are we confident of maintaining that throughout the full year, or are there any one-offs during this quarter?
So, great point. Obviously, you know, this quarter is low on margins and profitability in terms of EBITDA margins, PAT margins, etc. Now, the answer to that is twofold. One is that it's a quarter where the booking values as compared to what the budget was is quite low, just about 70-80 crores. And most of the costs are periodical costs. I mean, we are paying for growth, we are paying for the enhanced activity levels for all the launches, etc., etc. And the way accounting standard works is that irrespective of what you book as top line, which is a function of what you deliver, the current expenses on the entire pipeline, including the new launches, etc., comes within the same amount of period. So the moment you say you book less than what you should have ideally done or in proportion to what you should have done, the margins come under pressure. But the other side is that for the year as a whole, once we catch up on the top line booking, mm-hmm. this should get evened out. There are no worries or unexpected things which have happened to the margins per se. And for the year as a whole, for example, Bel Air has to get into the books of account. This should happen in this quarter, for example. The numbers will certainly increase. So this variability will remain, but generally we are on track on margins per se. No worries on that.
Great. Sure. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Dhananjay Mishra from Sunidhi Securities and Finance Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, absolutely audible. Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah. So, congratulations on very excellent booking and collections and as well as operating performance. So my question is that, I mean, out of unsold inventory, we have close to 600 to 700 crore revenue potential. So in terms of launches, we have said that NH47 will come in Q2. So, and rest of all, what about the launch pipeline you have in next 8 months? So what could be the overall sales booking target for FY25? Like?
So, I mean, as you very rightly pointed out, we are not a land banking company, so we will always continue to get lands and at the quickest possible time go to the market, hit the market and start selling it and liquidate the stocks at the earliest possible, create free cash flows and invest further. So that's what we've been doing in the last 3-4 years, and we sell really fast. We don't keep a lot of land with us, etc., etc. So to that extent, the unsold inventory values are low, and we rely heavily on the fresh launch. This has been happening for the last few years in any case, and that's how the business model is evolving. Of course, as we mature, as the pipeline goes bigger and bigger, to a certain extent this might change, but broadly speaking, if we are not land banking, Then it's about fresh launches, acquisition of fresh pipeline, etc., which will remain important in our portfolio. This year, we think that if we were to book fresh X amount of money, 2/3 of that should come from fresh launches, and 1/3 of the total sales should come from sustenance. And that's what we are doing, and that is on track in that sense.
So in that case, would you be able to achieve 1400 crore kind of number against 1100 crore last year? Did?
Yes. So yeah. I mean, we had some 1100 crores of sales last year, and growing by 30% means 1400-1500 crores, which is the number. And we are on track for sure. The kind of launches which are there, the pipeline of launches, and also the sustenance sale and sustenance projects which are on hand. I think this number is, we are on track to achieve those numbers at this point.
In terms of HDFC platform utilization, can you repeat the numbers, how much we have already utilized?
We'll separate these numbers to all of you offline, fine-tuning between these 3-4 categories that I just talked about a little while back. But we'll give you those numbers offline.
Okay. But I mean, this year, because of BDs, we have kind of 5,000 crore we are going to create. So I think there will be substantial portion to be utilized with if we have 2-3 projects from HDFC side. Right.
Yeah, very right. As you said, very rightly, there are 3 sources. One is the internal approvals. We, for example, first quarter we generated 100 crores. Although this year is a construction heavy year, because we are doing a lot of construction on the projects that we launched last year, which gave us very, very healthy cash flows, and you know, the inflows were very healthy on that account. But this year is also a year where not only launches are heavy like the last year, it's also about doing a lot of construction for the sales that we did last year. So that's one. But in any case, there will be healthy cash flows coming still. Second is HDFC platform, and because the company is zero debt, negative debt, 50 plus crores, possibly we can raise to the extent of 300-400 crores easily, well within the conservative limits and significantly below debt equity of 1, etc. So these 3 give us almost in the region of 700-800 crores to be invested for the year. 700-800 crores invested within this year, which is exactly the target, should give us a 5,500 crore rupees of top line. Assuming that all of that, or broadly most of that, is going to be outright basis projects. On top of that, there is always a possibility to get into a few JDs, and that should improve this ratio further. But conservatively speaking, with an investment plan of this size, to achieve a top line of 5,000 to 5,500 crores is looking pretty decent and achievable.
And lastly, in Mumbai market, as you indicated, so what will be the nature of project? Whether it will be JDA or some society redevelopment?
So we are generally exploring all the 3 options. Being a new market, we'll obviously prefer to remain asset light there. So general preference will go towards society development, redevelopment, or JDA, etc. But otherwise, in terms of exploring options, we are open to all the 3, which is society redevelopment, JDs, and outright purchase.
Okay, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritvik Sheth from One Up Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on a consistent performance since the last few years. So most of the questions have been answered. So my question is relating to the ROC and ROE of the company. Since we have been mentioning that P&L is not a correct metric to measure the profitability. You know, how does one look at the ROC and ROE of our company, where the capital employed is about 500 crores as of March, and we are generating healthy cash flow, but because of the P&L accounting standards, it is difficult to look at ROC and ROE. So, you know, directionally, if you can guide us how to look at these 2 numbers, then it can be helpful for us.
Sure. I mean, I think you already hit the nail on the head when you said that real estate industry, ROC, ROE, etc. are a bit delayed to catch up on the actual business performance because of the accounting standard. We report what we did 3 years back in terms of sales and profitability, while the real business is happening on a runtime basis, which is today, yesterday, and the last quarter. So that's how it works. In that context, all of you are well aware that current performance in terms of what is happening to the pipeline, what is getting added to that, what is the fresh sales, how are the cash generation things happening, what is the operating level of efficiency happening, etc., is more important, generally speaking, than the profit and loss appearing in the books of account as we see them for a respective quarter. So that's one, we all of us are well aware of that. But having said that, I think this quarter our ROC, if I can read the chart right, is to the extent of 16% odd, right? 15.94 to be more precise, which is also one of the highest in the industry. Mitanshi, you would like to say something about this one?
Yeah. So basically, if you look at, this should not be looked at, quarter on quarter. This should be largely looked at, companies which have done more sustainable business over last half a decade or so. And if we put Arvind Smart Spaces there vis-a-vis the competition, we have been up on the chart actually with between 15% to 20% kind of, ROCs actually. Industry has been somewhere around, 10% odd actually, and we'll continue this performance going ahead.
So generally ROC of 15% to 20% is the range that we are talking about here. More like 15, 16, 17 and thereabouts. But yeah, of course it can vary between 15% to 20%. This is what we read from the past data and the current situation that we are talking about. Of course, future holds itself a little hidden. But yeah, this is where we are on this. But you rightly said, there are other parameters which are even more important than ROC per se to read as a standalone number for our industry.
Right. Sure. So thanks for this. Sir, and one more question on the NH-47 project. We've mentioned in the presentation that we've done about a 95 crores private placement to a channel partner. So this will be sold by the channel partner or this will be sold by us? How does this part work?
So this is channel, when we say channel partner private placement, this is something that we have been doing consistently for some very large projects. So if the project size is too big, so if you are supposed to sell ultimately 3,000 to 4,000 kind of units in a project, then you want to do a 200-300 units of pilot run. And that you do only through a limited set of people who work with you consistently. Now, based on the actual bookings done by these people, this is not sold to the partners per se. This is bookings done by your close networked partners. They go out and they don't say that this is a launch per se, because we are not telling this to the public in general sense. We don't want to take the fizz out of the whole thing in that sense, but still want to test market through, say, 400-500 people or customers that generally are interested in us through these brokers, through these partners. So that's what we've done. This is essentially to validate the product, the size, the price, and the interest. That's what we did. And it turns out that most of the boxes that we wanted to check have been checked through this test sale. This is actual sales done to end consumers. But the partners are very selected. Partners are a limited set. And the word has not gone out really in that sense to all the consumers and customers for this project in a limited way in that sense.
So this is like an exclusive kind of...
Correct. Exclusive, but sold to the end consumers, advances received, that kind of a situation that we are in.
Okay. And
so we know the customers name have been booked, all formalities are done, money received, checks received. And those customers already, as far as they are concerned, as far as our systems are concerned, this is already sold and the specific name and everything has been recorded as buyer seller. So it's proper sales in that sense from process point of view.
Okay, got it. And so just what would be the ticket size, the starting ticket size in NH-47? And how many units would there be over the 1500 crores GDV?
Generally, we'll disclose this during the launch, but it has several products. There are low-end products in terms of pricing. The entire project is absolutely premium and luxury and stuff like that, but there are small products available. Those smaller products will be more like a 50, 60 lakh onwards. But these are very small things within the product that we're talking about, and there'll be premium, there'll be ultra premium. For example, there'll be villas, which will be called water villas on the edge of a huge lake that we are creating. So those could be exorbitantly expensive. But yeah, when it comes to the smallest one, possibly 50, 60 lakhs, 70 lakhs thereabouts to start with.
Okay, got it. And so just one last question. We maintain the launch guidance for 2,500 crores in current fiscal year, right?
Yeah, correct. Yes, broadly yes, yes.
Okay.
Launch.
Thank you, sir. Got it. Thank you. Got it. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Krish from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. This is Prem Khurana. Krish. Sir, first of all, I mean, congratulations on good numbers this quarter on operations side. I mean, I understand P&L tends to be lumpy. So my question was with respect to the organization restructuring that you spoke about in your opening remarks. I mean, I'll try and understand this a little better. I mean, in terms of how the decision making work, because I mean, as I understand real estate, I mean, it's more about capital allocation, right? So now you have two CBOs, one for South and one for West. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, it's not a problem with us as of now, because I mean, our balance sheet is very, very clean. And we have means and ways to be kind of augment our resources even further. But ultimately, essentially, there will be a pull from both the CPOs to kind of give them or allocate them the maximum possible number, right? Because they would want to deliver as much as possible in their regions. So how would the decision-making work? I mean, if you get to have similar sort of opportunities, I mean, in terms of guardrails, in terms of thresholds, would you predefine what would go to South and what would go to West, or... it'll be done on a case-to-case basis. And also, I mean, when I look at our management profile, I mean, we have Mr. Saurabh Agarwal as head of business development, which is the HO profile. So how would the BD work? I mean, would these deals be sourced by Sharvil or Manoj's team, or Mr. Saurabh would still be allowed to go and do it on his own?
Great question. When you are dividing the business into different geographical regions, there will be competition between the region, at least for the resource which is the most scarce one out of all, which is money. That's what happens in any case. So even before we did this reorganization at the senior management level, essentially the regions were working in any case, and there were people and teams working respectively for their respective regions. So there was a team, or there always has been a team which is active in Bangalore, there has always been a team which was active in Ahmedabad, and obviously there is a focus team working on Pune and Mumbai put together for the longest time now. So to that extent, this competition always has been existing. It's only that we are putting a little bit more clarity into the whole organization structure, aimed at mainly to be more responsive, quicker decision making, and at the same time, the most critical ones, the end selection, the finalization of our project, irrespective of the region, etc., that call is taken centrally. The regions will pitch, they explain, and we dig, we do everything. But then, end of the day, the final call happens at head office. This is one area where our lens is possibly much more finer than the average industry lens that is normally applied. God has been kind and possibly some of the systems and processes are working where every single project of ours till date has hit the market, has sold well, and there are no stuck-ups, etc., etc. I think this is a very conscious effort apart from me being lucky. But that's possibly one thing that we will continue to do it. Head office will remain absolutely involved, and they will take the final onus call and kind of responsibility for doing or not doing a project. But region obviously, for healthy reasons, should compete, and they will continue to compete. You also said specifically about the organization structure. I think this organization structure is something which is which is again a matrix structure which you see in most of the companies, where while business heads for the region are responsible for P&L, etc., but they have to compete for resources, and there is a head office team which works to scrutinize everything, every recommendation, and finally taking a view. So sort of remains at the helm of everything when it comes to taking the final call from head office point of view in that sense. So nothing changes really on ground.
Sure, sir. This is really helpful. And sir, second question was on Pune. We have spent some time now. We've delivered some inventory in Elan this quarter, which essentially means we've already completed one cycle in terms of scouting for a land parcel, acquiring, getting the project up and running, and delivery. So that one cycle is already done with. Possible to share your thoughts on Pune now in terms of our learnings, and how do you see this market going to scale up in the future? Because the one cycle, the pilot project is almost there now for you to kind of get some learnings from.
Sure. So we see Maharashtra as a market, which for us means Pune and Mumbai, MMR, so to say. And as you very rightly said, we have kind of wetted our feet in this market through Pune project, a smallish 120 odd apartment, 100 plus crore rupees of top line potential, etc. So that's done really. Project has come out very nice. We are happy about what we've achieved in terms of quality, etc. And it has obviously given us a lot of insights into the regulatory environment, the cost environment, the operating environment, etc. And this gives us confidence that, we can now take a next step. If we are treating Pune and Mumbai as one market, I think we are very close to taking the next step in terms of investing bigger and creating a portfolio which is meaningful for us. We have been a little slow in that sense in any horizontal market, so to say, and that's what the strategy has been, that we need to, real estate is a very local business, we really need to understand the nuances deeper and deeper before we invest anything substantial. But I think we've crossed that bridge in this market, and in the coming quarter you'll see a decent kind of action and stuff happening there. And Pune and Mumbai put together should become meaningful in our portfolio in the next 1 or 2 years. As we've been speaking, even in the last call we discussed that long term we want to see, at least medium term rather, we want to see a 40-40-20 split, 40 south, 40 west, and 20 odd percent coming from Pune MMR. And then long term can change and evolve even further. But today we are saying that in medium term it should be 40-40-20 or thereabouts between these three markets.
Sure. And one last question, if I may, with your permission, for Mitanshu, sir. This quarter we've spent some 60 odd crore rupees for land acquisition. Fair to assume this would be for the additional area that we've acquired at Amod, uptown 2.0 then 3.0, the 42 odd acres of area, or these are payments for the older acquisitions?
So the 60 crore will comprise of several things actually. As you very rightly said, this additional 42 crores is one of the major components. But there are other additions as well which have happened during this quarter. We would have advanced a little more on other acquisitions. But yeah, this is one of the major ones, that 42 acres addition which has come about.
Sure, sir. Thank you and all the very best for future. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Isha Shah from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. I think most of my questions are answered. I just wanted to understand for your Mumbai project portfolio, do we see the upcoming launches in the central Mumbai area, or are we seeing the outskirts of Mumbai as well, which would be the Thane, Ulwe area where the new airports are launching?
So I think in the last few calls, we made it quite apparent that we are not trying to target to start with at least anything which is a lakh and a half rupee per square foot, or even a 50-60,000 rupee per square foot kind of a thing. So we're not really targeting central Mumbai at all. We'll rather be focused on a 15,000, 20,000, 25,000 kind of peripheral market. That's what our focus has been. And we think that this is the market where the pie is big and we could really differentiate ourselves and create that value that we aspire to do. That is one part of it. The other part is going even further into the peripheries and do something horizontal. Mumbai has a huge potential and requirement and aspirations and capabilities and willingness to buy horizontal for a weekend, for leisure, for recreation, those kind of things, which are, I think, very grossly underserved in a market like this with so much of money being there. So these are clearly two focus areas, outskirts for weekends and peripheral 15,000 to 25,000 kind of markets, more like a Mulund or areas around it, etc., Thane, Upper Thane, you know, those kind of things. But definitely not focused on central Mumbai, ultra expensive, 1 lakh plus, 70,000, 80,000 plus kind of per square foot products.
Okay, so it will be land ownership, right? The vacant projects that you're talking about, that would be land ownership, or those will also be in the JV redevelopment DM likes?
So we are open to all. I mean, we are open to GD, as we just discussed a little while back. GDs are quite okay. Redevelopment is quite okay. Society, we are not talking about slum here. We are talking only about private society redevelopment. And GDs, of course, remain relevant. Asset light is one of our important part of financial strategy. So we'll prefer JDs and society redevelopments little more than outright purchases in Mumbai, which is little more capital heavy on land purchases. But nevertheless, we are open to all the three, and we work on all the three parallelly.
Okay, so we will see similar kind of margins for these projects as well, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, margin wise, I mean, we know that horizontal margins are a little different from the built-up margins for right reasons. Of course, then the capital intensity also goes down and up accordingly. The product mix has its own dynamics, which is pretty understandable in that sense. And we are targeting similar margins in each of the respective categories for this market as well, as we keep doing it for Bangalore, for example. In Bangalore, we have vertical, we have horizontal, we have JDs, we have outright. So between these four or five blocks, the metrics is clearly understandable in terms of where the margin should be, and that's what exactly is something that we are targeting for the market of Mumbai.
Okay. And the last thing is, for our future project mix, like say, for example, 4 or 5 years down the line, what are the kind of launches? Do we see more towards Bombay and Pune market, or will the same ratio continue more towards the Ahmedabad and Bangalore and a little bit towards the Pune-Mumbai market?
So right now we are more like 50-50 between Ahmedabad and Bangalore. I mean sometimes Ahmedabad will be 60 and Bangalore will be 40, and sometimes it will be the other way around. We've just started doing few things in Mumbai and Pune. In Pune and Mumbai should just start now. But as I just said a little while back, medium terms we are targeting a broad categorization of 40-40-20, 40% each coming from Bangalore and Ahmedabad, and 20% thereabouts coming from Mumbai. Mumbai, Pune put together.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Jain, who's a retail investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just a couple of questions. So, sir, currently we have 15 projects which are ongoing. 14 more are to be launched. Plus, we will do some BD this year, 6 to 7. So that effectively becomes 37, 40 odd projects. How many projects can we handle at a time? What's our capability like?
So, I mean, we'll rather read the capability and capacity in terms of number of handling projects, more like when and how much do we invest in building these capacities and teams. We have been consistent about investing upfront in our teams and human capital. We are ahead of our time, so if we want to sell 14, 15 crores this year, we know what it means in terms of the pipeline required, the BD effort, the launch effort, the sales effort, and the execution effort, etc., and accordingly build. So today, possibly, we will rather be preparing ourselves for a 2,000 crore rupee fresh sales and other things falling in line accordingly, etc. So we've been investing upfront. You would have seen quite a few changes. Mitanshu has just joined, was the most senior person in our industry, coming from Alembic and that pedigree. You would have seen Avinash joining 3-4 years back. So the whole team is being created, keeping at least 3 years ahead from where we are today. And that's how we invest, and that's what can be seen even from the numbers. You know, if you were to see, for example, a very cut and dry number of salaries that we are paying, I mean, what is the growth there? And you will see that this basically has been taken care in terms of creating those capacities and capabilities within this. And so we are investing upfront, very clear focus area. We know that it's not only about acquiring projects, so more about executing them. we have a fantastic execution record till date, but it doesn't give us any comfort to say that because we've done it in the past, the same can be done in future. A 1,000 crore execution is orbitally different from a 2,000, a 2,000 is orbitally different from a 5,000, and each of these orbits require a very different kind of response to the environment and the challenges that it poses, especially for execution. And that's what we absolutely recognize. Building team is the most important management KRA, and we are busy doing it. We are investing upfront, and we'll continue to do that.
Got it. Sir, my second question is very project specific. So I was going through the slide, and in slide, I could see that few of the projects which have been completed for some time now, they are still unsold. Like Avishkar, around 22% of the inventory is unsold. Megascape 57%. So what's our learning out of this, and how are we planning to sell off this whatever inventory we have, and what are the timelines?
So there'll be few projects. I mean, the entire inventory itself in our portfolio is not more than some 600 odd crores left to be sold, and these little held up inventory will be maybe 10% of that value, maybe 60-70 crores in total in the entire system, putting all these projects in one block. Well, percentages look high, but the values specifically are not very alarming. But having said that, we need to liquidate. I mean, there's no point in blocking this cash unnecessarily. But in a business like real estate, if there's a project which holds up some inventory for some little extra time, that's the reality of the situation. But you know, as management, we obviously want to get rid of such inventory. We're taking steps to do that. In the overall context, and the proportion of such stuck up inventory, I think there is reasons to believe that it's quite reasonable, well within our control. And whatever is this leftover, I think we should be clearing this off.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The last question for today is from the line of Akshay Kothari from GHB. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is more concerned with the strategy. So generally, you know, real estate works in cycles, and if we don't diversify, but there are certain companies who have actually diversified and made it more of a structural sort of thing, like annuity-based businesses. So if I take an example of Oberoi, it goes more in depth rather than going in breadth. So just wanted to know, since in Ahmedabad we have a considerable standing and good name, are we looking to go for commercial projects, malls sort of projects, wherein the annuity is much more structural rather than cyclical?
Sure, it's a great question, especially from an investor standpoint. Annuity-based portfolio does give a little more stability and visibility. We've been consistently sort of discussing the fact that this company, our company, remains very clearly focused on the residential market, at least in the short, medium, and longest term at this point. This has many reasons, and it's a very thought through kind of strategy decision. This has a lot to do with the cash cycles, the funds availability, the turnaround times, and the expectation of growth and expectation of reinvestments from monies coming into the business from what we earn from the previous projects. Given the life cycle that we are in, given the situation that we are in, given the aspiration that we have in terms of growth and creating value for the shareholders, etc., I think it's prudent for us to utilize the scarce resource, which is funds or the money, the most optimal way. We think that at this stage, at least, it's important to generate cash. It's important to invest faster and reinvest the same money at an IRR more like a 20%, 25%, rather than trying to have short-term cash flows, which will be significantly less in a yield-based business. So while this importance of yield-based asset class is absolutely understood, it has its own merits, but I think our company will remain focused, at least in the medium term, on creating values by investing in products and projects which are more cash flow oriented, which gives us faster cash and can be invested, and same can be invested at higher IRR than a yield based business, of course, this is a strategy and this is the trajectory we've taken for today and for some few years going forward. But we'll keep evaluating it. At this point, it's very clear that we'll remain focused on residential buy and sell and liquidating stuff at the earliest possible once we acquire any rights or land, etc., etc. And I mean, annuity-based things are not a priority at this point. But we very well appreciate the fact that also is an important category per se.
Yeah, because after a point when you reach certain scale, then this actually helps, because currently we are saying that, you know, there are times when unsold inventory will stay as unsold inventory for a lot of period of time. At that point of time, this would act as a cash flow cushion and help us to grow. So that's what my concern was. And secondly, sir, are we looking something around Lothal and Nal Sarovar? Because I think Lothal Museum is coming and Nal Sarovar, there are some plans, big plans for by the Ahmedabad Municipal Corporation.
Yeah, so if you were to look at Nal Sarovar as a wider area, we already have quite a bit of presence. I mean, in a wider 20 kilometer radius or thereabouts, I think we are already there in a very, very strong way. Our Adroda, which is Uplands 2, Uplands 3, and even Kalyangad is not very far from this area. Directionally, this is the same in any case. So, we have a very strong presence in this area, Nal Sarovar, in that sense. Lothal is a little too far. I mean, it's farther away from Nal Sarovar and the direction that the city is taking, so it will be not there. But directly speaking, if you were to go to Lothal, then Kalyangad, which is an NH-47 project, it's on the way.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kamal Singhal for closing comments.
Thanks a lot, everybody, for participating in this earning call of Arvind Smart Spaces. And thanks again for your continued support. I hope we have been able to address most of your queries. However, if there is anything missed out on any of your questions, kindly reach out to Vikram and he will connect with you offline and clarify, give further information as may be required. Looking forward to interacting with you once again in the coming quarters. Thanks a lot for your time.
On behalf of Arvind Smart Spaces Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.